Open your Bibles, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. It is a wonderful joy and blessing to be back at the great Church of the Open Door in Westminster, Maryland. I'll be forever grateful for that day when God allowed my path to cross with your dear pastor and my good friend, Dr. Norris Belcher, and I believe knitted our hearts together. Dr. and Mrs. Belcher, the Belcher family, are not acquaintances, they're not associates, but they're actual friends. And I've been looking forward for some time in coming, and I'm anxious and anticipating the Lord doing great things in these days that have been set aside for revival. Let me say right out the gate, God is in the revival business. And what He's done in the past and on the pages of the Bible, He's interested in doing in the present. Now, we don't want just another meeting. We don't want just another series of services. But we want genuine, real, authentic revival. Amen. There's nowhere that I would rather be. Nowhere in all the fundamental world these days than right here with my dear friend, Dr. Norris Belcher, in this revival meeting at the Church of the Open Door. Amen. Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. I would be remiss if I did not take a moment, and I had made a mental note to mention it, that we certainly appreciate how good and gracious Dr. and Mrs. Belcher and the Church of the Open Door have been to us during the coronavirus crisis, which has now morphed into the coronavirus craziness. Back in the fall, I was preaching in Dixon, Tennessee. I was on the elevator, I think that week I might have been on the third floor, and I was riding the elevator down to the lobby to meet my ride to take me to the pulpit, to the church, to the revival where I was at, and the elevator stopped on the second floor. I was going to the first floor. My room was on the third floor, and the doors opened, and a fellow went to step in. He slammed on the brakes. His face was as white as this dress shirt. He looked like he'd seen the death angel, and he said, "Dude, you don't have on a mask." To which I replied, "Dude, neither do you." He said, "Yeah, you're right," and he got in the elevator with me. And so this coronavirus crisis, can a brother get a witness, has morphed into coronavirus craziness. And at the very entrance of it, you can imagine, as an evangelist who lives out of his calendar, that my spring was absolutely decimated. I mean, the bottom fell out of the calendar. And it was in no time, that I received a phone call from Dr. Belcher and then several checks to help us through that crisis. And Dr. Belcher, I could never articulate our appreciation for you doing that. In fact, I think probably I won't even give a love offering this week. Won't get one. I got my fingers crossed because you were so good to me. That was supposed to be funny. I'm sorry you missed that. Because you were so good to me and our family during the coronavirus. And I certainly would be remiss if I did not publicly, as I've already privately, said thank you. Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. And I'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 23. Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, and verse number 23. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, and verse number 23. "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." A little phrase in this verse that I want to call your attention to, and it's the phrase, "And in hell he lift up his eyes." Do you see it? There it is, "And in hell he lift up his eyes." And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, what you'll surely believe. Your first 5 seconds burning in hell. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If in my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts this morning, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from this morning. Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As strange as it may sound, there isn't a single disbeliever, doubting Thomas, or dissenter in all the unseen world of debauched souls. Not a single doctrine on the pages of the sacred Word of God is laughed at or lampooned by anyone who is in hell. In fact, a person may have there proudly called themselves a free thinker here, who in the hereafter will positively call themselves a fundamentalist. What you'll surely believe, your first 5 seconds burning in hell. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, we find the lovely Lord Jesus Christ speaks of two rich men. Now, this chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: the rich man and the steward, verses 1 through 18. And the rich man and the street beggar, verses 19 through 31. It is well the physician Luke is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the rich man and the street beggar, that a person learns what every sinner believes their first 5 seconds in a blazing hell. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Everyone knows, Dr. Belcher, that seconds may seem a very small measure of time, but an individual can fall in love in 1/5 of a second. A honeybee flaps its wings 600 times in 3 seconds. Bill Gates can make about $500 in 5 seconds. And the sinner in the charred halls of hell becomes a genuine Bible believer within seconds of their shocking and startling entrance. Never forget, it only takes the teeniest increment of time inside the gates of perdition to get any person to testify that their previously held tenets were grossly inaccurate. Now, if you miss everything that I preached this morning, oh, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating. It only takes the teeniest increment of time inside the gates of perdition to get any person to testify that previously held tenets were grossly inaccurate. Friend, you and I, both the unsaved and the saved, need to know what everyone instantaneously believes when they open their eyes in hell. Now, quick this morning, there are three heart-moving truths. People believe in hell after being there only for a few seconds. And they're all found here in Luke chapter 16. Let's quickly notice it this morning. What you'll surely believe, your first 5 seconds burning in hell. Number one, a real place. Verse 23, and in hell. A heart-moving truth that people believe in hell after only being there a few seconds is, it is a real place. In verse 23, the physician Luke tells us that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ makes it crystal clear that the forever home of lost souls is an actual location. An individual must keep in mind that when the Son of God had fall from his lips, the conjunction and, the preposition in, and the noun hell, he was, Dr. Belcher, letting everyone know for time and eternity that this wasn't a figment of some crazed preacher's imagination or a fairy tale of some clever person's invention. Please listen closely to what the testimony of the rich man is in regards to this being a recognized spot. Verse 28, lest thou also come into this place of torment. The poet put it like this: hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comfort of home, music and song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long weary night. No love, nor peace, not one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, pardon nor grace. No water. Oh God, what a terrible place. The pangs of the lost no human can tell. Not one moment's ease. There's no rest in hell. Friend, you and I need to know that what everyone instantaneously believes when they open their eyes in hell is it's a real place. The Bible says in Matthew 13:29, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Breaking news. Just as every person has a temporal mailing address, when one steps out into a crisis eternity, they have an eternal mailing address, which is 666 Forever to the Lost Boulevard, Lake of Fire. You see, when you look on a map, you can find there is a Westminster, Maryland. You can find there is a Canton, Michigan. And when we look into the map of God's Word, we find, yes, there's a heaven to gain. But the same Bible that tells us there is a heaven to gain also tells us about another place. And that place is hell. And there is, as much as there's a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. On May 2nd, 2020, a Chicago inmate escaped jail by swapping places with another detainee and wearing a coronavirus mask. Place a little bookmarker there. I always wondered what was the use of a worthless mask. By the way, if Fauci ever shows up with a black eye, I gave it to him. I've got more confidence in Dr. Seuss and Dr. Pepper than I do Dr. Fauci. Back to the sermon. Welcome to the Spring Revival meeting. On May 2nd, 2020, a Chicago inmate escaped jail by swapping places with another detainee and wearing a coronavirus mask so nobody saw his face tattoos. Jaquez Scott let the Cook County Jail, instead of Quentin Henderson, who had been approved for release that day. Henderson later told authorities that Jaquez promised him $1,000 to swap places. Scott wore a Henderson sweatshirt and a mask to take Henderson's place when he was called up to leave. And that's how he made his escape from the slammer. Ladies and gentlemen, I've come to this pulpit in this hour to let all those know who are under the sound of my voice, there isn't a trick, mask, or ploy that you could ever come up with that's going to get you out of hell's hoose scowl once you have landed there. Oh, what you'll surely believe when you land in hell is it's a real place. Number two, let me hasten. It's a real pain. Please look at it, verse 24, for I am tormented in this flame. A heart-moving truth that people will believe in hell after only being there for a few seconds is it's a real pain. In verse 24, the physician Luke tells us that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ makes it crystal clear that the forever home of lost souls has actual acute suffering. Dr. John R. writes, once wrote about this scene in the scriptures, there was no hesitation. The body's not cold, but he's in the torments of hell. Before the expensive funeral and the mourning of rich friends and the eulogy, the rich man was already being tormented in the flame. And then Dr. Rice wrote, God does not have to wait until judgment time to know the sinner is unrepentant, unconverted, unforgiven. Friend, you and I need to know that when everyone instantaneously believes when they open their eyes in hell, it's a real pain. Now, I don't know, Dr. Belcher, through these over four decades on the revival road, I don't know how many times I've preached from Luke chapter 16. I can tell you that it's been more than I can count, that I've taken my text from Luke 16 and I've preached on hell. But it wasn't until right recently in preparing this message that it dawned on me, and it's been there since the truth, since the scripture, since the words were wet with ink on the page, but it recently dawned on me that the five senses that every human being has here, oh my, if they're lost, they're going to take those five senses with them into eternity. And it's all found by the story of the rich man. First of all, that first sense, and we find it in Luke chapter 16, his sight, verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, a sense that human beings have here that they'll sadly find suffering in hell from the rich man's own story is his sight. Just 5 minutes in the lower world with the sinner's eyes wide open will foster five millennium of hair-raising nightmares. His sight. Secondly, his taste. Verse 24, and cool my tongue. A sense that human beings have here that they'll sadly find suffering in hell, as seen from the rich man's own story, is his taste. Even water bottled at the source of a third world country sewer department would carry a large price tag in hell. His taste. Thirdly, his touch. Verse 24, for I am tormented in this flame, a sense that human beings have here that they'll sadly find suffering in hell, as seen from the rich man's own story, his touch. Every nerve ending will feel the lick of every flame as the unbeliever burns in the bowels of the earth. You say, preacher, you're not fooling me. I know exactly what you're trying to do. You're trying to scare me. Congratulations. I would much rather have you hell scared than to ever have you hell scorched. Amen. All five senses will go from here into the hereafter. Number four, hearing. Verse 25, but Abraham said, oh, a sense that human beings have here that they'll sadly find suffering in hell, as seen from the rich man's own story. Here's hearing, listening to the screams of the last person who just arrived in hell, mingled and mixed together with those who have been there for centuries, would fill every insane asylum on earth. His hearing. Number five, a smell. Verse 28, lest thou also come into this place of torment. A sense that human beings have here that they'll sadly find suffering in hell, as seen from the rich man's own story. Here's smell, maybe the nauseating smell of burning flesh times 100,000 will be what they call, oh my, a good day on the AQI, Air Quality Index, in perdition. Here's smell, oh, that every person that is in this service would realize that the five senses that human beings have here that they'll sadly find suffering in hell are sight and taste and touch and hearing and smell. Apparatus 126 is the oldest known surviving motorized fire vehicles from the Seattle Fire Department. A 1913 Seagrave 55-foot city service ladder truck with a 40-gallon chemical tank was delivered to the firehouse on October 24th, 1913 at a cost of $6,550. It replaced their horse-drawn ladder truck. For 55 years, 5 months, and 29 days, this oldest fire truck raced through the city of Seattle, putting out all sizes of fires and rescuing hundreds of people. But wait a minute, if it were even possible to park 1 million apparatus 126s in the center of downtown hell and let them work for 1 million years, they still wouldn't be able to lower the temperature, not even a half a degree. Oh, you may not believe it here. You may not believe it now. You may laugh and mock and scorn at this moment. But when you wake up in hell, you'll know it's a real pain. And then number three, and last of all, my time's gone. A real place. A real pain. And then number three, a real prayer. Verses 27 and 28. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send into my father's house 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in to this place of torment. A heart-moving truth that people believe in hell after only being there for a few seconds is, it's a real prayer. In verses 27 and 28, the physician Luke tells us that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ makes it crystal clear that the forever home of lost souls has actual seasons of supplication. Evangelist Oliver B. Green once said about this spot in the scriptures, the word of God is a fence around hell to keep you out. That's 100% true. But there is another barrier. There is another fence. There is another wall. that God in his goodness and grace has put up to keep you out of hell, and that's the prayers of those who are there. Dr. Belcher, it shakes me all the way to my shoes to think about the fact that the only religious thing that they ever do in hell, they don't read the Bible in hell. They don't go to church in hell. They don't praise the Lord in hell. They don't pass out gospel tracts in hell. But the only thing with the Levi religious that they do in hell is to have a prayer meeting. And the prayer meeting they have in hell is that the next family reunion won't meet there, won't gather there, won't come there. In hell right now, they're praying, if you're lost, that you might get saved. Amen. And it's the only religious thing that they do in hell. Oh, dear friend, to think about at this very moment, there are those in hell that are praying, if you're lost, that you'd get saved, that you'd be born again, that you'd have your sins forgiven. I'm talking about there are lost people in this auditorium that if it were possible, Brother Young, to hang this wireless microphone that's on my necktie right now over the charred caverns of the damned, you would hear a recognizable voice that would call your name, and they're praying right now that you'll get saved. They're praying right now that you would trust Christ. I'm talking about a name, your name being called in hell by somebody you know. And they want you to be saved. Say, well, preacher, I'm a young man. I don't know how old you are. But I can promise you that whatever your age, you can go to the newspaper in Westminster and in the obituary section find someone your very age whose name is there. They tell me that in Billy Sunday's meetings, he used to say, it's very possible that this year he'd say it to his audiences, it's very possible that this year will be etched on your headstone. And they tell me, Dr. Belcher, that Billy Sunday would hardly get that out of his mouth, and people would jump up out of the crowd and run to an altar and get saved. Right now in hell, there's a prayer meeting. Right now in hell, they're begging that you would get saved. Right now in hell, they're pleading that you would trust Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Can I go ahead and preach this morning?
Amen.
Shame on us. Shame on us. Shame on us when we've allowed the prayer meeting in the house of God to be neglected, rushed through, and basically treated as an awkward formality because it's outside of the church sign. Well, the whole time in hell, there's a prayer meeting that never stops, that you and I that are saved would get off the stool of do nothing and quit whittling at the stick of do less and win people to Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I'm closing with this. Five men entered a spar in zinc mine in Salem, Kentucky by falling rocks. They were entrapped, I should say, in that spar in zinc mine. They had nothing to eat. They were, Dr. Belcher, in utter darkness. One of the men could have saved himself had he not run back to warn others. When the entombed men discovered that they could not escape, they began to pray and sing. Their prayer and praise service lasted for 53 hours. Then they were rescued. One of the men testified, "We lay there from Friday morning till Sunday morning. We prayed without ceasing. When the rescuers reached us, we still were praying. When the men were brought out of the mine, on the caps of each of them were scrawled these words, 'If we're dead when you find us, we were all saved.'"
Amen.
Don't miss this. I can promise you that sinners somewhere in hell, I can promise you, sinner, that somewhere in hell for the last 53 hours, that's Friday morning till this morning, there's been somebody there praying that you would get saved. There's someone there praying that you would trust Christ. There's someone there praying in the last 53 hours that you would leave darkness and meet the light of the world. So, well, preacher, I'm a member of such and such church. Friend, listen, you can be a member of every church in the entire universe and die and split hell wide open. It's not a religion. It is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the largest caverns in hell will be crammed full with members of every single denomination in every single church. A real prayer. We've seen from the pages of the Bible what everyone believes within 5 seconds of going to hell. It's a real place. It's a real pain. It's a real prayer. And the good news is you don't have to go there.
That's right.
The good news is you can be saved this morning. The good news is you can get that taken care of and be birthed from above. And you not only won't go to hell, you won't even smell hell. If you'll trust Christ this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. What you'll surely believe, your first 5 seconds burning in hell. In this service, there are two kinds of people. Brother Campbell, those that are saved and those that are lost. Only two kinds. Has nothing to do with the kind of home you live in. Has nothing to do with the price tag of the garment that might be on your back. Has nothing to do with how much money you may have in your bank account. It has everything to do with what will you do with Jesus. Neutral you cannot be, for one day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me?